Genesis chapter 45, we're going to see Joseph's reveal. And just to kind of recap on where we're at in the context of Joseph's story is Joseph's brothers have come back into Egypt to gain more grain during this big, great famine. And this time they have to come with Benjamin and Joseph's full brother by Rachel. And we'll see he kind of showed favoritism under that. And as James went over last chapter, these brothers show great example of repentance and willing to sacrifice for their brother Benjamin despite him being favored by Jacob. Kind of what we've seen the opposite of with Joseph. They sold Joseph into slavery because they were jealous of him for Jacob having favoritism over him. So they really show huge growth from the time we start with Joseph's story by being sold by his brothers up to now. So all of his brothers are really showing growth. And we end chapter 44 with Judah, one of the brothers, really taking lead in this offer of self-sacrifice for Benjamin. And kind of a plead in asking Joseph for mercy, because remember, they still don't know Joseph is the leader over Egypt right now. And keep note that Joseph's still playing that role. So Joseph's been testing his brothers, and not as torture against them, but almost being led by God in a way of working repentance into the hearts and minds of his brothers. So Joseph's really using them, or testing them, giving them the option to repent from their sins. So God's real divine plan of action taking place here. So Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, because every man caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So this is going to be the third time that Joseph has broken down, once in Genesis 42, second time in Genesis 43, and both times he stepped away from his brothers in order to protect his identity. So he was still playing that role of the Egyptian. So as we see here, he has broken down in front of his brethren now. So they're kind of being suspicious. Why is he breaking down? Why is the leader of Egypt breaking down over this? So verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. So Joseph told all the Egyptians, all the handmaids and stuff, to get out of the room. So he's alone with his brothers. So he starts breaking down, and he weeps so loud that even though they left the room, they all heard what was taking place, the Pharaoh and the servants. So there's a huge amount of emotion going on between, or from Joseph here. And it says Joseph could barely contain himself, and his brothers were so astonished over him. This is his revelance. He's revealing himself unto his brothers at this point, and they were without words. You know, he started crying, and his brothers are troubled in his presence because they're, what is going on? The leader of Egypt, they couldn't answer because they were so shocked. So verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. So Joseph's trying to comfort him. Look, settle down. Let's all settle down. Come close. I am Joseph. I am your brother. Joseph's like, look, I know it's a huge shocker, but it's me. He's worked up with emotions. They're shocked. Joseph's just trying to comfort the situation and reveal himself. I am Joseph, your brother. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. So Joseph doesn't want his brothers to hold regret for selling him or hold kind of wrath against him. And he's acknowledging that this was God's plan from the beginning in order for him to lead the famine and preserve life through the dream of the Pharaoh. And Joseph doesn't hold a grudge over him because he knows this was God's plan of action coming to pass. And even though he might not have known from the beginning, Joseph is giving them the assurance that he and they should recognize that God was using them as pawns from the beginning. And he's explaining this to his brothers. Look, don't be upset with yourself. This was God's plan of action taking place from the beginning. Verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. So remember, Joseph knows that this is a 7-year famine from the Pharaoh's dream, and the ones he interpreted to know. There are only a few people who know this, Joseph, the Pharaoh, maybe some of the chiefs of the Pharaoh, but what's important is that Joseph's brothers, they didn't have any clue how long this famine was going to last. So Joseph is explaining his divine knowledge he received from God to his brothers in order to kind of explain God's divine plan of what's happening. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So Joseph, once again, he's explaining how all this happened to him, and this has been God's actions, God's plan of action from the beginning. This is God's work. And that phrase, preserve for you a remnant in the land, that's him connecting what has happened to him and the family promise where Jacob and his sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what's happening. This is the divine plan. That's what he's telling them. Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph again saying, it was not you that sent me here, but God. Don't hold a grudge against yourself. God blessed me, made me a leader of the Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. This is the third time Joseph is confessing and giving God the glory and acknowledgement for all that has happened. So Joseph re-explaining this to his brothers. Verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Joseph telling his brothers, go get our father. Tell him to come here. God made me the leader over Egypt. Don't remain in the land of Canaan. Come here. There's a famine. You won't survive. Father and his people come to us in Egypt. Verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou, and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. So that land of Goshen is the fertile region in Egypt. And it's described in the book of Joshua to be a place with rich soil, which, think about it, it really makes sense. They're in the land of Goshen, that fertile land of Egypt. It's a 7-year famine. They were able to harvest food. They were able to have food, grow corn, grow grain. Makes sense. So he's saying, come to Egypt, to this fertile land. Verse 11. And there will I nourish thee, and yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Joseph's saying, I'll take care of you. Tell our father, I will take care of them. There's 5 years left of this famine. Come to this fertile land, and I will take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll raise you. And that phrase, come to poverty, saying if you don't, you're going to be poor. You're going to be without food. Tell our father and our people to come here. Verse 12. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. So pay attention here. We've went over it the past couple of chapters that Joseph wasn't speaking their native dialect, their native tongue. That way he could hide his identity as the Egyptian leader, right? Well, that my mouth that speaketh unto you, Joseph revealed himself to them. Now he's speaking to his brothers in their native language. So proven he is who he is. I am Joseph. I'm speaking to you how your people talk, us, you know. So this is kind of like the final proof and like the turning point of a full reveal of Joseph to his brothers. So Joseph is no longer portrayed to his brothers as that Egyptian leader anymore. This is the final proof of I am Joseph. So he has confessed himself to him, proven by speaking in his native tongue. Verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. So explain to him my glory in Egypt. You have seen what all I control. Tell Israel, Jacob, tell them about it. Bring them here. And I want to make note here, no, this is not Joseph claiming his glory to himself. This is, tell my father of my glory. Remember, we just read, first things first, he gives God the glory. This was God's path. This is just him reiterating, explain to my father what we have, what I'm in control of, because we can prosper. It's not, I'm not lying to him, right? So just make note there that Joseph's already confessed his blessings from God. So this is not him claiming it to himself. Verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. So imagine the amount of emotions built up to this point over all these years. And after all, we've seen and read Joseph's story over the past few weeks, and this whole story has kind of led up to this turning point here. And I just want to make note that Joseph does not act like all the sin and troubles his brother caused him never happened. He's acknowledging it. Joseph's just confessing that sometimes that takes place for God's plan of action to unfold. He's not saying his brothers didn't sin against him. He's just saying, look, don't hold a grudge against yourself. I forgive you. Forgive yourself, because this was God's plan. And we're going to touch a little bit more on that in a minute, but let's keep reading. Verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. So the Pharaoh's still kind of head over Egypt, keep in mind. He just made Joseph the leader over operations, basically. You're operating what's going on. The Pharaoh is still the Pharaoh. He just gives Joseph the power. But he's approving Joseph's brothers and their family coming into Egypt. And even his servants are pleased with it. And this is kind of a big deal here, because remember we read there's a lot of racial segregation at this time, right? The Egyptians didn't eat with them. They kind of separated themselves during formal events because they believed they were superior in a way, right? So this is really proving God's will coming to pass. These Egyptians, born and raised Egyptians, are accepting them as equals. This was a big deal during this time period. Verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, and go, and get you unto the land of Canaan. So the Pharaoh's pleased. He's stepping in, he's giving Joseph advice and that reassurance of bring your family back home, or bring your family here from their home. Verse 18, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. Ye shall eat of the fat of the land. So bring your whole tribe and settle. What is ours in Egypt is theirs as well. Pharaoh's giving them that reassurance. But look at the hospitality being offered to Jacob and his people. And all because Joseph obeyed God's will and used his gift from God of divine translation. To now, their whole family is being blessed by Jacob's gift initially, right? From God. And I want to take note here, Joseph had a gift from God by being able to interpret divine dreams that many people didn't understand. It was a divine gift. So Joseph used this gift for God's work, and now him and his entire family are being blessed from it. And just take note that anytime you have a divine gift, whether that be a talent, an eye for inspiration, ability to decipher things, ability to teach, whatever the case may be, it's important that we use these talents. These are gifts from God, and all in all, God blesses us with these talents for a reason. And We should be using them for Christ's work, for enable to reflect Christ's work. That's the point of these gifts and talents. And we see proof here in Joseph's story that when we use our gifts from God, these talents, that we can bless, he blesses us and those around us, right? Use these gifts. They're gifts from God. And by using your gifts, you'll start reflecting. You can use it to reflect the light of Christ onto others and others around you in order for them to use their gifts and shine them. And it's a chain reaction here. It's what we're seeing with Joseph and his brothers and reflecting onto the Pharaoh. So use your talents. God will lead you in how to use them to reflect his light. Use them. If he blesses you with a gift, use it. And I want to pick on Papa here for a minute. Those of you that know him, those of you that sit around him in the morning know, Papa, your gift from God is not singing. Let's make that clear. But no, all joking aside, what is a gift from God for you? The ability to read, understand, and teach God's word, right? What's another gift you have from God? The ability to read a tape measure, right? Yes. So what have you done the last 40 plus years before you retired? You used those gifts to teach others on job sites about God, reflecting God's light, right? Use your gifts. Papa's a great example. Joseph, being that example, use your gifts to reflect God's light. Back to verse 19, Genesis 45. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. They're giving them transportation for all their people. Verse 20. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. He's saying, don't worry about your possessions. Everything you need, we have here in Egypt. Help yourself. James kind of brought this to my attention this morning. We were talking, the Pharaoh's representing something here, right? He's telling Joseph, tell your brothers, don't worry about your goods and your possessions back home. Here in Egypt, we'll have everything, and it's better. So, kind of sounds familiar, right? Well, we're not going to go there on a slide, but if you want to flip there, you can. Matthew chapter 24, verses 17 and 18. This is Christ speaking here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 17 and 18. So this is written in red, Christ speaking here. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Don't worry about your possessions. Where you're going is going to be better. Same thing we're seeing here. Pharaoh tell Joseph to pass down to his brothers. The Pharaoh is reflecting the action of Christ that we'll see later in Matthew. Don't worry about your possessions. Where you're going is better. Where you're going is going to have better possessions. Just like us in our end times, right? When we go to be with the Lord, we're not taking clothes, we're not taking goods, we're not taking food, we're not taking TVs, we're not taking cell phones. Why? Where we're going is better. Everything there is better. And that's what we're seeing here. The Pharaoh reflecting the light of Christ, or reflecting God's light at this period. Like we've seen, we've went over it many, many times. God uses believers, non-believers, whoever he wants, right? Same thing with the Pharaoh. Don't worry about your goods, where you're coming, it's better. Verse 21. And the children of Israel, back in Genesis 45, excuse me, verse 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them which he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. There's a connection here I want to look at. When Jacob showed favoritism unto Joseph back in chapter 37, what did he give him? A coat of many colors, right? Clothing. That was raiment. What has Joseph given his brothers here? Clothes, raiment. Same kind of thing here. Joseph's sort of using this to show his brothers' favoritism now. They saw Jacob showing him favoritism with that raiment of many colors. So now he's showing favoritism by giving his brothers raiment. And yes, he is still showing greater favoritism over Benjamin, though. Benjamin is his full brother. But all in all, this is represented to be an echo of favoritism unto his brothers. Kind of giving them that peace. Verse 23. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So even though they're going to bring them to Egypt, he's still sending them plenty of food, goods for the journey. He's reassuring them that what we have is better, really representing an abundance of God's blessing. We've got plenty. So just for thought here, what does 10 represent in biblical numeric? 10 asses, 10 she-asses.
Spiritual
completeness. That's right. Spiritual testimony, law, responsibility, completeness. So Joseph's taking responsibility by giving them this complete reassurance of, come here, come to Egypt, it's better. Verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, so that ye fall not out by the way. This was Joseph saying to his brothers, drive safe. Don't fall out on your way for this journey. Drive safe. Be careful. You know, have safe travels. Verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Jacob's believed his favorite son Joseph's been dead for 20 plus years now. And he even had the disguised evidence, so he believed that was the bloody coat of many colors. There was evidence that his son was dead to him. Verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Those 10 she-asses, those 10 he-asses, they were representation. Jacob was a spiritual man. He knew God. He knew what that represented. That was that complete reassurance of, this is Joseph. Verse 28. And Israel being Jacob, said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Understanding, believing his sons. He's excited. He's going to see his son that he believed was dead for the last 20 plus years. So, we saw and went over, you know, using our talents to perform God's work. Because all in all, our talents are gifts from God. Use those talents. And we saw how Joseph uses his talents of, or gift from God of interpreting divine dreams. And God uses him for his plan, God's plan, and will to be done. And it blessed him and others around him. They prospered because of God's gifts to him. And he reflected God's light unto others, and they were all blessed from it. So, there's one more thing I want us to pay attention to here in this chapter. So, verse 4. If we go back, chapter 45, Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. He is acknowledging and letting them know that he is acknowledging, you sold me into Egypt. You sinned against me. And if we read verse 5, this is him telling his brothers, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He's telling them, don't be angry with yourself, because this was God's plan leading up to this moment from the very beginning. He's acknowledging sin, but he's also saying, this was God's plan. And before I get ahead of myself, I want to clarify that no, it is not okay to sin because it could be the path of God. That's not what I'm saying here at all. We're going to look at it from both sides here, the brother's side and Joseph's side. So from the brother's point of view, how many people do we know and how many times in our own lives does sin end up leading us closer to Christ? And when I say that, I mean, just because you accept Christ in your life doesn't mean you're not sin-free anymore, right? There's only one that's perfect. That was Christ. And what it means is if you are truly saved and you know Christ in your heart, when you catch yourself committing sin, you're going to notice that you're starting to have a guilt buildup from it, a way that it kind of festers inside. And we start to get frustrated with ourselves, or I do anyway, and that's why it's important for us to repent and learn from our mistakes. But take that self-frustration, or what I do is take that self-frustration, and you have to forgive yourself because Christ and God forgived us, right? But use it as a fuel in order to commit yourself to Christ, and use it as, I'm going to repent from it and learn from it. Learn from your mistakes. And that's really what we're kind of seeing Joseph tell his brothers here. Acknowledge your mistakes. You sold me. He's telling them, you sold me unto sin, but don't be angry with yourself, because throughout this story, they've learned from their sins, and you've seen them grow and prosper and have guilt build up for selling Joseph. So the main thing I wanted to point out here was we are going to sin. We all sin. There's one who didn't. That was Christ. He was our sacrifice, right? But acknowledge your sins. Own them. Learn from them. Use them. Use that guilt buildup as fuel to further your repentance, to learn from it, to do better. And all in all, that's the point, is learn from your mistakes. We're here for a test, right? Same thing with Joseph's brother. Joseph keeps giving them test after test to kind of show their repentance and learn from their guilt for selling them unto slavery, to now they're all just happy to be together. It's kind of a full circle story here, right? But I wanted to look at it from Joseph's point of view here for a second. So throughout life in the flesh, people are going to sin against you. We live in a sinful world. We all sin. Things like that are going to happen. So there's going to be times where you may get spit in the face, figuratively or literally, you know. But people are going to have envy and sin against you. Same thing we saw. Joseph had envy against his brother. They sinned against him. But it's important for us as Christians to know that God has our back along the way if we are His. We submit ourselves to Him. And if you're doing what the Lord has placed on your heart and has led you to do, then you can use your talents from God in order to spread God's truth and light, and God will lead you to prosperity in the end. That's what He did with Joseph, right? All throughout, Joseph was prospering, whether it was in slavery, whether it was in jail, to now head over Egypt, and now Joseph has used his blessings in order to bless his entire family. So just take note, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. If someone sins against you, don't hold a grudge. Use your gifts from God in order to reflect Christ's light, and God will lead you on the path that He has you lead, and you will prosper in the end.